We shall now turn to the chapter which we read together, Isaiah chapter 40, and our text for this evening is verse 9. Isaiah 40, verse 9. O Zion that bringest good tidings, get thee up into the high mountain. O Jerusalem that bringest good tidings, lift up thy voice with strength. Lift it up, be not afraid. Say unto the cities of Judah, behold your God. We have a command here. Say to the cities of Judah, behold your God. But what relevance does that have for us today? Well, the cities of Judah represents the church, the new Israel, the new Jerusalem. God is saying to us here, say to St. George's Presbyterian Church in Sydney, behold your God. Say to all the churches in Australia, behold your God. Say to the churches right across the world, behold your God. Surely this is something that is needful for us today, to look, to see, to wonder, and to worship the living and true God. That's what preachers are asked to do. Too many preachers say, behold me, look at me, admire me, think about my eloquence. Be impressed with the stories I tell, the jokes I crack. Be entertained by my pulpit ministry, my parading before you. Too many church musicians say, listen to us, the great music we have. We've got wonderful music, better music than any other church. We've got wonderful musicians. Come and hear our entertaining music. Come to our church. We've got lots of clubs, lots of activities, lots of social interaction. There's wonderful things you can do, and you can meet up with so many friends. No, no, no. It's not focus on man. What is the Bible saying to us to do? What is God commanding us from heaven to do? He's saying, behold your God. Church is about God. Preaching is preaching God, the glory of God. That's what we've got to do. Focus upon the Lord and fall down before Him and worship Him. There's too much grumbling and complaining and problems and troubles, and if only instead of focusing upon ourselves and our problems and our troubles and our worries and our fears and our health and our finances, focus on God. Lift up your eyes and see. Behold your God. This is the great cry that preachers should be crying right across Australia and across the world. Behold your God. Lift up your eyes and look. See the King in His beauty and the land that is far off. Set your affections on things above. That's a message to Christians. Behold your God. But it's also a message to those who are not Christians. Look unto me and be saved, all ye ends of the earth. From I am God and there is none else. Look to God. Set your attention upon Him. Focus your minds upon Him. Remember now your Creator in the days of your youth, before the evil days come and the years draw nigh when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. Behold your God. Well, that's what we would like to do tonight with the Lord's help, to behold our God. And in doing that, I want to direct you first to verses 1 and 2, where God is presented to us as a merciful God. Comfort ye my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem. And what is the comfort that you are giving to them? Her warfare is accomplished and her iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received double of the Lord, the hand of the Lord for all her sins. Israel had a sad history, really. I remember as a child being troubled and surprised how Israel kept making idols for themselves and kept going astray. You read the books of Kings and Chronicles, the book of Judges too, and you see Israel blessed when they worshipped God and everything was going so wonderfully, and then they turned to Baal and they made idols and worshipped graven images, and God's judgment came upon them, and the nations round about would invade them and persecute them and oppress them. And then in their grief and their sorrow, they would turn to the Lord and cry for mercy, and he would raise up a deliverer, and there was a new beginning. But before long, they were turning again to idols. And I used to think as a child, how silly they are, how stupid. If only they would worship the Lord. But now I think how silly and stupid we are, the way we turn to idols. We have this great living and true God, creator of heaven and earth, the glorious God who rules over all and will judge all. And what do? We set our hearts upon the trivial things of this world. We love things rather than God. We love our money and our families and our entertainment and our sports and our pleasures rather than God. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, and with all thy mind. But oh, we have such a tendency to idolatry. And we provoke the Lord to anger. But there's a great message for Israel here, and for you and me here. Thine iniquity is pardoned. All of us sin in many ways. God is a just and a holy God who cannot look upon sin. He hates it and must punish it. But he's found a way of salvation, a way whereby he can justify the sinner who believes in Jesus. Repent and believe the gospel. Be washed in the blood of Christ. Who is a God like unto thee? A God that pardoneth iniquity, that passeth by the transgression of the remnant of thine heritage. A God that delighteth in mercy. All day long, says God, I have stretched out my hands to a disobedient and gainsaying people. Israel, so rebellious, so stubborn, so argumentative against God, wanting to go their own way, and yet God's still there with his hands stretched out saying, come to me, return to me. Comfort ye my people, saith your God. Tell her her warfare is accomplished, her iniquity is pardoned. We've got a great God, a God who pardons sin, a holy God who hates sin, and yet he pardons sin, and he provides us with a way of salvation. A merciful God, how wonderful that is. Let us worship this God, this wonderful, merciful God. But then the second thing that we notice here is in verses 3 to 5. There we are told in verses 3 to 5 about the coming Savior. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Where is that quoted? It's quoted in Matthew chapter 3. It's quoted with reference to John the Baptist. John the Baptist was preparing the way. He prepared the way for the Savior. As saith the prophet Isaiah, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. John the Baptist came calling, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent. He prepared the way. There was a great revival under his ministry. Many repented and came to the Jordan to be baptized. And then Jesus appeared. He was preparing the way for the Messiah. What a God we have. A God who sends a Savior to us. A God who is that Savior himself. Because God the Son became man. The glory of the Lord is revealed, verse 5. What is the glory of the Lord? Jesus of Nazareth. That's the glory of the Lord. The Lord Jesus Christ. He's God's glory. In him is the glory of God revealed. The wisdom of God is revealed in Jesus. The power of God is revealed in Jesus. The mercy of God is revealed in Jesus. The forgiveness of God is revealed in Jesus. The salvation of the Lord is revealed in him who died for our sins and rose again for our justification. The Lord Jesus Christ. He loved us. He died for us. He rose again. He ascended up to heaven. He's making intercession for us. The glory of the Lord is revealed. Behold your God. Your God who came to save you. Your God who died in human flesh on Calvary's tree. Your God who reigns in heaven. Your God who sent out his church saying, go, preach the glad tidings of great joy to all nations. Call men and women everywhere to believe in me and they'll be saved. Offer salvation. Offer Christ to all and all will be saved. All who come will be saved. All who believe will be saved. The coming Savior. And then verses 6 to 8. Behold your God. God's word is truth. All flesh is grass. We see that around us, don't we? We see how frail man is. Grass, the grass is growing. It's green, it's strong, it's flourishing. You have these flowers growing. And then along comes a hot wind from the desert. And it all quickly shrivels up. The flowers fall and fade. All flesh is grass. The glory of man is the flower of the grass. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth. But the word of our God shall stand forever. Amen. God's word stands. The Bible stands. The truth is there. It's there from generation to generation. People have been attacking the Bible for 2,000 years. But it's still intact. You can still believe it. It's true. It's the source of truth. And it's the standard of truth. And God is the God who cannot lie. What kind of God do we have? Behold your God. Your God is a God who has spoken. Your God is a God who's revealed himself to us in the Bible. And through that revelation in the Bible, you know the way of salvation and you can be saved. Here we are at the end of another year. How quickly our years pass. Doesn't seem for some of us, and the older you get, the quicker the years pass. Doesn't seem for some of us that long since the beginning of 2023. And here we are at the end. 1 year passing faster than the next. What is your life? It is as a vapor, a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. What is your life? It's like the weaver's shuttle passing through the loom, quickly shooting through the loom. That's our life. We're here and we're gone. Our little life is over, uncertain at best. whatever length of life we live, even although we live till we were 100 years old, it's so short and it passes so quickly. But God is eternal, and God's word is eternal, and God is the God who never changes, and his word is sure and steadfast forever. God's word is truth. God is the God who speaks the truth. Behold your God. Moving on to verse 10. Behold your God. Your God is the ruler and the judge. Verse 10. Behold, the Lord will come with a strong hand, and his arm will rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. God, he comes. Emmanuel, God with us. He comes, and he comes to rule. He comes as king, and he's coming again to judge the world. He's got a strong hand. Who can fight with him? Why rage the heathen and vain things? Why do the people mind? Kings of the earth do set themselves, and princes are combined to plot against the Lord and his anointed, saying thus, let us asunder break their bands and cast their cords from us. The nations rejecting God, the peoples of this world despising their Creator, but he that in heaven sits shall laugh. And then shall he speak to them in wrath, in rage he vex them shall. God is coming. God is coming with a mighty arm. God is coming to judge. His reward is with him. And he will give a reward to all those who love him, trust him, and follow him. And he's got a reward of punishment for those who reject him and despise him and do not obey his word. He's a God who, yes, is rich in mercy to all who seek peace with him. He's willing to save, willing to forgive. Comfort ye, my people. But he's also a God who is ready to condemn those who continue in unbelief and in rejection of him. Our God is a great God. He's the ruler of the world. He's the king and he's the judge. And soon you and I will have to stand before the judge and give our account. If we have Christ as our Savior, trusting in him, receiving and embracing the Lord Jesus Christ, we've got nothing to fear. But if we don't have Christ, we have everything to fear. Verse 11, behold your God. Your God is the shepherd. What a beautiful picture we have here of God. Earlier we sang in Psalm 23, the Lord's my shepherd, I'll not want. He makes me down to lie in pastures green. He leadeth me the quiet waters by. The Lord, the shepherd, looking after his flock. Are you one of his sheep? Do you look to the Lord as your shepherd? He causeth us to lie down in the green pastures by the still waters. And yea, though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we will fear no evil. For his rod and his staff, they comfort us. Here we're told about the shepherd. He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arm and carry them in his bosom and gently lead those that are with young. What a beautiful picture of God. A God who gathers the lambs. Are you one of his lambs? Are you one of those little ones who trust in him? Are you one of those new Christians who've got so much to learn? He is gentle. He gathers you in his arms, carries you in his bosom. He gently leads those that are with young. The good shepherd. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and am known of mine. And I call my sheep by name, and they follow me. I am the good shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep. The good shepherd. Behold your God. God is our shepherd. We love him. We trust in him. We follow him. We praise him. He cares for us. And then in verses 12 to 17, we see the greatness of our God. Who hath measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, and meted out heaven with a span, comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure, weighed the mountains in scales and the hills in a balance. You go down to the beach as we did the other day to Manly Beach, and you look out from there across the ocean. Miles and miles of sea. You can't see the far side of it. And God measures it in the hollow of his hand. God is so great. These millions and millions of gallons of water, he measures them in the hollow of his hand. You look at the mountains, the blue mountains. You think of a great mountain like Mount Everest, and God puts it in his scales and weighs it in his balance. Our God is so great, so vast in comparison to this world and in comparison to you and me. The greatness of our God. Who directed the Spirit of the Lord? Who was his counselor and taught him? For with whom to God counsel? Who does God ask advice of? He doesn't need you and your specialities and your wisdom and all your brains and your genius and all your learning. No, not at all. God needs nobody to guide him, to direct him, to counsel him. No, he knows everything. There's nothing that was ever known that God doesn't know. There's nothing that was in anybody's heart that God doesn't know. And God knows everything that can be known. God knows every thought that ever was in every human being that ever lived in this world. And more than that, he knows every thought that every human being will have to the endless ages of eternity. His knowledge is infinite. It's without bounds. Who can direct God? Who can teach God? Who can tell God anything? None of us. Behold the nations. They're as a drop in a bucket to him. You pour the water out of the bucket and there's still a drop there. You don't think anything of it. It's nothing. The greatest nations of the earth, China, Russia, the United States, what are they? In all their might and power, they're like the drop of a bucket in comparison to God. Proud man, boasting of his greatness and his power. And President Xi of China setting himself up against the living and true God. And thinking he can change the church and make it a church which promotes the Chinese Communist Party. Think of Pharaoh long ago. Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice and let Israel go? Well, he soon learned who the Lord was. 10 plagues devastated the Egyptians. And when he thought he could bring Israel back into bondage in Egypt, you remember what happened. He came with his chariots, his great army. And God led his people through the Red Sea. And when the Egyptians tried to follow them, they were drowned. Every single one of them. God brought his waters over Pharaoh and his chariots. And the army of Egypt was destroyed. What is man? What is the greatest nation? In comparison to God, a drop in a bucket. The small dust of the balance. When you've got balances, you don't bother about the small dust. What is it? It's nothing. He taketh up the isles as a little thing. The biggest islands, what are they? Even Australia, what is it? Just a little thing. Lebanon is not sufficient to burn. You think of giving him a burnt offering. And you cut down all the trees of the forests of Lebanon. And you make a great altar. And then you gather all the beasts of Lebanon. And you offer them as a sacrifice. What a huge offering. It does nothing to God. God is so great. the greatness of our God. Behold your God. Think great thoughts of God. The problem with you and me is that we have such low views of God. Our God is so small. Have great views of God. And then how it would affect our lives. How it would lead to holiness of life. And how it would lead to confidence when the Lord makes promises and says he will never leave us nor forsake us. When he says, our God is with us. What a comfort that should be, even although the whole world were against us. And then verses 18 to 26, the foolishness of man. To whom will ye liken me, verse 18? Or what likeness will ye compare unto me? The workman melteth a graven image. The goldsmith spreadeth it over with gold and casteth silver chains. He who is too poor chooses a tree that will not rot, seeks out a gifted workman to make a graven image that shall not be moved. Have ye not known? Have ye not heard? Hath it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundation of the world? It is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth. The inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers. Wherever you look across the world, there's so much idolatry. And idolatry has been practiced down through the centuries. And man takes gold and he makes a molten image, a silver, and covers it over with gold, or takes some wood and carves it and bows down before his own creation. Bows down in front of a piece of wood and uses another piece of wood to warm himself, burning it in the fire. The same timber. How foolish. How silly. Who is God? And people today, they draw a picture of God and they think that they can do a picture of God. And you see them drawing pictures of Jesus Christ. Idolatry. You can't draw a picture of Christ. Christ is God. He's not just man. He's God. And it's idolatry to make a picture of him. Whether it's a picture of a baby in a manger or whether it's a picture of Jesus supposed to be on the cross or whatever else it is, it's idolatry. You can't make a picture of God because God is so vast. Who is God? It is he that sits upon the circle of the earth, sits on the equator, and the inhabitants are as grasshoppers before him. The heaven is his throne, the earth is his footstool. God is infinite, eternal, unchangeable. He's boundlessly great. You cannot measure him. You cannot circumscribe him. You cannot describe him. He reveals to us just a little. We can see, as it were, a little corner of God. But that's all. God is infinitely great. Behold your God. He is so great. He stretcheth out the heavens as a curtain and spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in. God is so great. He bringeth the princes to nothing and the judges thereof are as vanity. Who is God's equal? Verse 25. To whom will you liken him? Lift up your eyes on high and behold, who hath created these things? Look at the stars. He calleth them all by name, by the greatness of his might. For he is strong in power, not one faileth. God created the stars and he named them every one. How many stars are there? 100,000,000,000. Billion, trillion stars. And God named them everyone. How great is our God who created this vast universe. And God is not part of the universe. He's above it. He's beyond it. He is so great. He is so glorious. How great is our God.
And then finally, in verses 27 to 31, wait upon this great God. We're told in verse 30, even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall fall. Youths who seem to be so strong and vigorous, and after a while they get tired. They get weary. But what is God like? He gives power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Israel says, verse 27, my way is hid from the Lord, my judgment is passed over from my God. God's not seeing me, God's not caring for me, God doesn't know what I'm going through. God won't help me. But yes, hast thou not known, hast thou not heard? God takes his time, but God comes at the appropriate moment, that the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth, he faints not, neither is weary. There's no searching his understanding. There's no limiting of his power. And then that wonderful verse, verse 31, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Our God is so great. And they that wait upon him, they that pray to him, they that trust in him, they shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. You're poor, you're weak, you're struggling, you feel you're dying. You trust in God and he gives you supernatural strength. You feel your situation is too difficult, it's crushing you. Wait upon the Lord. God helps. God delivers. Sometimes we feel God's forgotten us. We're praying for something and nothing happens. But we've got to remember, wait upon the Lord. In God's time, in God's way, the answer will come. Ask and you shall receive. If you who are evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father in heaven give good things to them that ask him? He'll give you every good thing and will withhold no good thing from you. Behold your God. The critical thing there, you notice, is your God. Is he your God? Can you claim him? Have you got a living relationship with him? Can you say, my Lord and my God? Have you put your faith in Jesus Christ and taken him as your Savior? Then they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding, to your own silly, foolish reasoning. Trust in God. Trust in the Lord, Jehovah. For in the Lord, Jehovah, is everlasting strength. You and I struggle. We often struggle. And we struggle particularly because we're looking at ourselves. We're looking at our friends. We're looking at our churches and we struggle. We're a bit like Peter when he asked to walk on the sea towards Jesus. And he stepped out of the boat and everything was fine. He could walk on the waters. But then when he took his eyes off Jesus and he looked down and he saw the waves and he began to doubt and he began to sink. And he had to cry out, Lord, save me, I perish. And Christ reached out his hand and caught him. You and I, we're always, or so often at least, looking down. Look up. Behold your God. This is the great message then of this chapter. Say unto the cities of Judah, behold your God. Focus your eyes upon Him. Fix your attention upon God. Meditate upon the greatness of our God and the love of God and the mercy of God and the grace of God and the salvation of the Lord. Meditate on Jesus Christ, the Savior who loved you and died for you and rose again and is interceding for you at God's right hand. Meditate on God, the God who's coming again. Behold your God. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. Praise His name. Praise Him today. Praise Him throughout this coming year. Praise Him more and more. Let 2024 be different from 2023. Live it out with more of a sense of God and His glory, and you, as it were, living your life in the presence of this great God. Remember the greatness of God, and when you're struggling, wait upon the Lord, for they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Let us pray. O Lord our God, help us to behold Thee, to focus our attention upon Thee, to see something, even a little glimpse of the glory of God, to humble us, yes, and to cause us to repent of our sins and to hate sin, and to turn our minds away from the trivial things of this world. May we be caught up with the glory and the majesty and the magnificence and the beauty of our God. And may we worship Thee in the beauty of holiness, for Thou art worthy to be worshipped. Worthy is the Lord of all praise and honor and glory. So bless us, Lord, each one. Reveal Thyself to us. And help us more and more to praise Thee all our lives, and then to praise Thee through the endless ages of eternity in heaven forever. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.